I'm Brian.
I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start and run and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. This is episode 180. Welcome
180.
Back. 180. Yeah, 180. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It's a lot.
It's a lot of episodes.
But a lot of content. For any of our new listeners, don't just feel like you have to listen to the latest ones. There's some great content on some of the old ones.
Right. In fact, just put aside a month and go through them.
Well, binge watching TV shows is a thing, so we might have some binge listeners, too.
Yeah, if you're going on a road trip soon, why not think about taking the eBay for Business podcast with you? It's not a TV show, but you won't get that distracted, unless we say something that you find inaccurate or offensive, in which case you can pull over and you can let us know at podcast@ebay.com or 888-723-4630.
Or just scream very loudly out the window.
Be careful. You don't want to direct your rage at anyone on the road. That can lead to really unfortunate circumstances.
It can.
Hey, Brian, what's in the news this week?
We do have a crisis in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And want to make sure that all of our sellers are aware. So first off, thoughts and prayers to the Ukrainian people and anyone in that kind of region that might be adversely affected by what's going on there. But want to make sure that everybody is aware that if you're the Ukrainian seller and you're shipping outside and you're unable to, we will protect you. And likewise, if you're outside the Ukraine shipping into the Ukraine and you've shipped items and you're concerned about your shipping time and things like that, again, eBay will protect your ratings.
Well, that's good to know.
Some other news. The eBay business team announced a new sweepstakes last week called the Share Your Success Sweepstakes. Over the next 2 weeks, you can share your tips for success with your seller community on the eBay for Business Facebook page for chances to win a $200 eBay gift card.
Ooh, $200.
$200.
I know how I'd spend that.
You do.
There's some fragrances I buy, right?
So you can sell them 10 years later. To enter, just tell us what you do after the sale to help make sure your buyer comes back for more by commenting on the specific eBay for Business Facebook post. We'll post a link to that post in the transcript for this episode, number 180.
That's already underway. So although it's open for 2 weeks, I think we're going to be into the second week by the time this releases.
Yes.
So it's still not too late this week while you're listening to go and, hey, all you got to do is comment and just tell them what you do to keep customers coming back. I know what I'd comment.
What would you comment?
So I make sure my packages are so well packed and so nice to open. And there's not lots of tape that you have to get a surgical scalpel to get through in order to find the item. It's a kind of a nice reveal. You open the box and the item is there and easy to take out and easy to pull the little sticker off and have the bubble wrap off. And I like to think that keeps in people's mind, you know, this was not hard to open and it was well packed. Maybe I'll come back and buy from it.
I have a feeling you just saw the package I just handed off to the shipping department yesterday.
Why? What did you do, Brian?
Well, you're going to get really mad at me. I still don't have a label printer.
Oh, Brian, so, I've got one at home. Do you want me to lend you the one?
You know what? This weekend, I have a whole bunch of things I'm going to list. I sold an iPhone and I had a good box for it, but then I had to print the label and I realized I taped up the box and I went, well, now I got to tape the label onto the box. So when you were commenting about tape all over the box, that's kind of what my box looked like.
Yeah. I have a new thing I'm going to invest in that I'm going to start using as well.
What's that?
The paper tape with the glue on the roll.
Oh, you're doing that?
Yeah, because it's more environmentally friendly. It composts. I've got the tape machine. I just have to get the right tape. I think I have some eBay tape from a while ago.
And then you just got to make sure the little water thing is.
Yeah, I think that's what I got to replace. The water bottle was missing. It's a big piece of machinery and it takes up a lot of space. You know, I don't know about you, but when I buy stuff on eBay, I take the tape off before I put it in the recycler. I just think it's better. The tape I have to put into the regular trash, it goes into a landfill. And I'm thinking, that's too bad because why are we degrading the earth with this? So it's like my whole thing about styrofoam peanuts. Don't get me started. Oh, go ahead. Start.
When you're going to get mad at me because you know what? I have this last bag of peanuts. And so whenever I need something, I do still use them. Mm-hmm. I'm down to about this many peanuts left. And then
this many, he was doing like a little, it looks
two
like
foot. Maybe, it's probably maybe foot and a half by foot and a half bag.
I can't believe it, Brian.
I bought this massive bag because back in the day, it was like such a great, I just went, I'm buying it. And you know why I bought it?
No.
because I don't normally use them. I use other kinds of things, to paper or whatever I have around. But I bought them because I shipped a antique wall clock. And I really wanted to make sure it was super secured. And it was probably like, 4 years ago. So I just sparingly use them, but I had nothing to put around the iPhone when I put it in the box. Yeah. So I used the peanuts.
All right. Well, we'll give you a pass this time, but don't let it happen too much again. You know what I do love? And when I get them from a seller, when I buy something, and they've used those compostable peanuts that are made out of food starch, those are great. They do the job.
Yeah.
And you know how you get rid of them? You put them in the sink and you run water on them. They all dissolve.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. You could actually put them in a compost heap as well. They'll dissolve there. That's just, it's starch.
It's kind of like what they've done with plastic forks and stuff.
That are compostable.
Now.
Yeah. But I have to recommend something. If you do have compostable peanuts and you have styrofoam peanut, please don't mix them.
Right.
Because then I have to go through an hour of picking them out. Not a good buying experience.
Yeah, not a good use of time.
No, not a good use of time. I try to do my environmental duty to the extent it's possible. I also don't use a lot of bubble wrap anymore. If I can get away with using tissue paper again, which is recyclable, compostable, I use the eBay tissue paper I get from the eBay shipping supply store. You learn, depending on what you're selling, when you can get safely away. You can pack it safely with crumped up tissue, or when you really have to use something like bubble wrap. Right. But I use as little as possible now. You don't have to take an item, and you don't have to wrap it. And then you don't have to take tape and go tape. It's not going to make it more secure. And in fact, for an older person like me with arthritis in the fingers, it can be really difficult to open. And if I'm wielding a pair of scissors trying to open this, there's always the chance that, I'm going to stab myself. And then where are you? Anyway, these are things to consider. And we were talking about the sweepstakes. So if you've got a tip, make sure you enter the sweepstakes, and we'll put the link for that specific eBay page, eBay for Business Facebook page, in the transcript.
And I do want to just add one little thing to overpacking.
Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, if you're running a business, if you sold 100 items this month and you overpack every single one of them, that eats into your margins.
Yeah.
It eats into your profits. You should only use as much packing material as necessary to get the items safely to the buyer.
And it's not always easy knowing where that dividing line is. You don't want it to be poorly packed so that it's damaged in transit. But there is a point beyond which it's just superfluous packing. Right. And you're wasting money on packing materials, and you're making it difficult for the buyer who wants to open
easily
the item.
Easily access. Yeah.
Do you know what I use when I'm using bubble wrap and I wrap something? What I use is, those little circular eBay stickers you get in the...
Yes.
So I just use one of those. They're visual, so you can see where the sticker is. With very little effort, you can rip them. You don't have to peel them off. Unlike clear tape, where you don't know where you can start for pulling it off, and it kind of makes the bubble wrap not reusable because it's all over the place. And, it's just you had to end up throwing it into the trash. I reuse as much bubble wrap as I can that I get from my purchases.
Yes.
And if I can't reuse it, then it's too bad. It goes away. Yeah. What else is in the news? This is the longest news section.
I was going to say, we haven't had a news section this long. So QuickBooks, the PC magazine, the number one rated accounting solution for small and medium-sized businesses, is now integrated with eBay Payments.
Wow.
If you're not already a QuickBooks subscriber, you can subscribe now and save 30% for 12 months. This exclusive offer from QuickBooks for eBay sellers is only available for a limited time. QuickBooks subscribers can conveniently and securely access QuickBooks via a web browser. No apps or special software required. Sellers can use QuickBooks to invoice buyers, pay bills, generate reports, and prepare taxes. You can learn more at ebay.com/announcements.
Now it's time to get to the meat of this week's show.
And what is the meat of this week's show?
It's another time-saving tool that I wanted to talk about. I think I teased it for a while. It's called Listing Templates. And right after the little musical break, we'll jump right into it.
Sounds good.
You may recall, Brian, that in episode 177, we took a close look at business policies, how they can eliminate the time it takes to list an item, and how to organize business policies in a way that makes them easy for you as a seller to parse and select when you're doing a listing.
I do recall that segment. Some excellent tips for saving time.
Yeah, and saving time is what it's all about. So today, we want to take a dive into another time saver tool that many sellers may not be using. They're called listing templates. Now, Brian, have you used listing templates?
Not so much, Griff, but I know something about how they work.
Why are you using them, Brian? I hope after this segment you'll be using them.
Well, I can tell you why.
Okay, tell me why.
So for me, I think of them as something that someone with like consistent listings or like they're buying inventory and they're getting it all the way back. That's in my head and it's probably not correct because I'll sell an iPhone or I'll list a car or then I'll list a shirt or something. So it's all over the map. And so that's why.
I think maybe your very low volume of listing, you could get away without using a listing template. But there's nothing lost by having a few. And I hope after this segment, you'll consider having them.
Maybe I'll try them this Saturday because I've got about 15 items I want to list.
Now you're going to think about listing templates. And I think after we're done here, you'll want to create at least a few. We should start off by pointing out that there are actually two options for saving time when listing that use templates. They're both template tools, but they're not the same. So to be clear about which one we're outlining in depth today, one is called listing templates. That's the one we're going to spend a lot of time talking about. And the other one is called inventory.
And how do they differ?
Well, listing templates can be used to list any item on eBay by any seller, regardless of what your business mode is. The inventory tool, which is completely separate, is really only intended for specific sellers that sell individual products for which you as a seller have a continuous supply on hand or on order. Does that make sense?
It does. And in fact, that inventory tool piece is more of like how I think of listing templates.
Yeah, and they're not the same.
Yeah.
With a listing template, you can create a reusable template with some of the information pre-filled in. For example, a template might have pre-selected eBay and store categories and shipping and return policies. The empty listing template, when you're creating one, looks exactly like the listing form. When you create the template, you give it a name, and later you can call up that template and use it to create a listing for an item or a multi-items or, you know, an auction. It can be saved for any particular feature. And at that point, you would add the individual details like photos and titles and maybe other information specific to that item only. You mentioned inventory, and we did talk about it. With the inventory tool, you can create what are called products or product templates. And actually, they are called in the tool products, quote unquote. And these are for SKU-able items. With an inventory product, all the fields in the template have to be filled in order to save it. And that means photo, title, item specifics, your shipping, your return information, and even the price. You can't save that product template in inventory unless everything is filled in.
Which makes sense because it's tied to a specific product.
Exactly. That's right.
So I suppose you could use a filled in inventory product to list an unrelated item, but you'd have to change nearly everything in the template. Or edit everything, nullifying the reason really for using a template to decrease data entry.
You got it, Brian. You're so smart sometimes. Inventory products track the quantity remaining and sales of an individual specific product. Listing templates do not do this. They don't track your inventory sales or quantity sold or remaining. Now, if you have a robust business on eBay selling lots of SKU-able multi-quantity products, then you might want to test drive the inventory feature. For example, say you're a seller of, new fragrances, maybe, and that you restock your supply on a regular basis, you could really benefit from the inventory feature. With this inventory tool, that seller can create a product template for each of the individual SKUs with a current quantity available. She can then track that inventory for each individual fragrance SKU so she knows when it's time to reorder.
So it's kind of as opposed to taking like physical inventory, which is a lot of work.
I've done
that before in my old life.
It's the thing I dread more, even more than doing taxes.
So by the way, we may want to define the acronym SKU or SKU for our listener.
Sure.
It means stock keeping unit.
Stock keeping unit. So if you didn't learn anything from this broadcast and you didn't Google it beforehand, you just learned something.
Yes. It's SKU, S-K-U, not S-K-E-W.
Right. We're not skewing our SKUs. The inventory tool can reduce the times a seller has to take actual inventory and stay on top of SKUs that are in need of restocking so you don't run out.
That makes sense.
Yeah. However, if your business, and I have a sneaking suspicion that our listener fits this profile, that you sell mostly one-offs and maybe you have a few listings for products with two or more quantities, but you don't plan on restocking those products, like you happen to pick up four of something, but you probably aren't going to pick them up again, right? Then the listing templates are the tool for you.
So, Griff, do you use listing templates?
Oh, I eat the dog food. You can be sure.
I guess I'll be doing that this weekend.
In fact, I've gotten so used to listing templates that I use them all the time now. And having to create a listing from scratch actually makes me break out in hives. I feel so unsure of myself. I just rely on my listing templates. Take listing items from my collection of fragrances. You know, I have almost 2,500 bottles, maybe a little less now, but I'm selling almost all of them off. That's a lot of work. I don't have mass restockable quantities of new fragrances. I have a few where I might have three or four examples, new in box, for example, but not enough to use them as inventory. My personal inventory of fragrances tend to be single quantities of older or really sought after examples that aren't in a production anymore, but they do share some attributes in common. And that's the first step to consider when you're creating and using listing templates.
So you mean attributes like categories?
Yeah, that's one. That's one attribute. I have examples for both men's and women's fragrance as an example. So that would be two templates right there. One that has pre-selected health and beauty fragrances men, and one for health and beauty fragrances woman.
Or even a third one.
What?
Health and beauty fragrances unisex, right?
Yes, I suppose. So that would make three templates just for fragrances, just for categories. But actually, there are more than three even that I have to create.
So why?
Some of the examples in my collection are really, really old. Some are like they're from the 50s, 40s, even the 30s. And some are bottles that are half full from either evaporation, or maybe they've been used. Those I cannot list in health and beauty fragrances categories because they would be considered used. And that category of for condition was edited out last year to exclude any used condition.
Why did we do that?
Well, it has something to do with the FDA regulations on used cosmetics. You're not supposed to sell used cosmetics. And unfortunately,
right.
And this makes me furious, is that perfumes are considered in there. So eBay was proactive, making sure that they weren't violating FDA guidelines, and so they eliminated the used category from the health and beauty fragrances. But there's another category that you can list these in collectibles. It's called vanity, perfume, and shaving collectibles. That would mean another listing template for that category.
So interesting. So like get categories, but what other attributes might require new templates?
Well, I may have different business policies to apply to groups of items in each of those separate categories. For example, I don't ship fragrances internationally, so I can pre-select shipping policies that exclude GSP for each of those templates. And I really don't. It's a lot easier. You can't ship fragrances through GSP anyway. And I suppose I could push the boundaries of what's allowed and, you know, ship them directly myself as alternate shipping method. I just don't want to take the risk, so I don't do that. But having those shipping policies pre-selected inside each template, well, that's another step eliminated when creating a new listing. I might have different return policies depending on the item. So, for example, if the item is not wrapped and it's not in its original box and it's not completely full, if you test it a few times and send it back because you don't like it, mazel tov. But if it's new, sealed in the box and you send it back, I'm going to have to withhold a little bit because now it's worth less than when I sold it for because it's no longer new, right?
So, right, because they've opened it.
Right. And I may have some boilerplate text for descriptions that is shared between certain groups of items. Here's another example. For my older collectible fragrances, I have a paragraph that explains that some older fragrances may smell differently from what a buyer may remember, since older fragrances can and often do change over time. Now, I don't need this paragraph for all my fragrances, so maybe that just requires a new listing template.
So that makes sense. It's another, I don't want to say category, but it's another attribute, age of the item, just like category of the item.
Right. And that way, I don't have to recreate the wheel every time I'm doing a listing. All of those important bits of information are ready to go. And just like business policy, by the way, Brian, you can name each template so it's easier to pick out from the drop-down list. And I love this, you can create up to 50 of these listing templates.
Wow.
So just like we said with business policies in the previous episode, a good naming convention is important so you don't get confused.
Right, especially if you're combining multiple things here, because now what I'm hearing you say is like, we're going to combine listing templates and we're going to put business policies in those listing templates. And if I've already named the business policy, I've got to know what both are.
if you use the wrong template, or if you have a template that has, like, it had the paragraph in it, but everything else is right, I just edit it out.
Yeah, you can edit it.
Yeah, it's not like it's, you know, written in stone.
So you've been doing this for a while. How many listing templates do you have?
Well, surprisingly, I only have 13. I'm building new ones as I list more items, only as needed.
Lucky 13.
I know, not for long, though. So I have separate ones right now for watches, cameras, and of course, men's shirts. For example, for men's shirts, I have separate ones for short sleeve, under 16 ounces, short sleeve, over 16 ounces. And you know why, right?
Yeah, for shipping.
Yeah, because sometimes they weigh more than 16 ounces. I have to ship them a different service rather than first class. Same too for long sleeve. There's long sleeve for under 16 ounces and long sleeve for over 16 ounces. And those are what they're named, so I can find them quickly.
So different sleeve lengths and different shipping weights, which means different classes of shipping.
Exactly. All of these might seem insignificant when it comes to time saving, but in reality, they actually do cut down the time it takes to create a listing from scratch. And the key to making listing templates work for you is to take stock of the types of merchandise you tend to list. You have to do that first. Then group them into separate buckets for shared attributes, and then create listing templates for each one of those buckets.
So two comments. So is 50 enough?
Well, honestly, I really don't know. I don't think I'd need more than 50, but maybe there's a case where a seller might need more than 50, but 50 should be more than adequate for any seller, at the very least for testing, right? You'd only need one, right? Just to test.
A long time ago when I was doing account management, I came across a seller who had high volume. And one of the things that he said to me was the most important thing that he learned early on when he started selling on eBay was he had to reduce the number of clicks on everything that he did. And for me, as I think about what you've talked about with listing templates, it allows the seller to reduce the number of clicks to get the item listed.
Exactly. And you know, that might seem insignificant, these little steps. But like you said, they add up.
Right. That was what this seller emphasized to me. He said, boy, over the course of a year, if you can take out 100 clicks a week, it's real time as you add it up over the course of a year.
Yeah, I did some tests, by the way, using listing templates. And if you take out taking photos, which still takes some time, but I've got it set up now where it takes a lot less time. And we'll talk about that in another segment. But if you're just looking at the data entry part of it, using listing templates, I can get that listing completed in 60 seconds or less. That's a time saver. If it's difference between 1 or 2 minutes, that extra minute adds up. If you clock your own speed now and then clock your speed with a listing template, you may find something. If it's easy to do the math, you could see how much faster you could be going by using listing templates.
What about merchandise that might be in eBay's catalog, like fragrances?
Well, even then, starting off with a listing template might still result in less work. You know, if it's in the product category and you select it, or you put the UPC and it pre-fills, Mazel Tov, that's even less work. But you can use that in conjunction with listing templates as well. You have nothing to lose by testing out this feature.
So how do our sellers find the listing template?
Easy, Brian. You go to Seller Hub.
I knew it was going to be Seller Hub.
Everything is Seller Hub. Hover your mouse over the listing tab and select Create Listing. The next page will be one of two possible views. If you're still using the classic listing tool, it'll show a section for listing templates where you can choose or create or manage templates. If, like me, however, you're using the new and improved listing tool, and I love it. At first, I was a little, I don't know, but now I much prefer it to the old one. It'll look different. You'll find if you have any drafts, they're going to show up on the left. And if you have any existing templates, they'll show up in a list on the right. And if you don't, you'll be prompted to create a template. And when you click the templates link, it'll take you to the next page, which is the Manage Templates page, where you can create a new template. So slightly different navigation depending on which listing tool you've opted to use, new or classic.
And I believe you can get right to the Manage Template page with the link https://bulkedit.ebay.com/manage-templates.
And we'll put that link in the transcript for episode 180. And so if you want to bookmark it, you can get right to your Manage and Create Template page immediately.
And if you have lots of restockable SKUs and you want to cut down on data entry and keep track of quantities sold and remaining, we suggest you explore the inventory feature. Go to Seller Hub, hover over Create Listing, and select Inventory.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, as always, you can always tell us or ask us about listing templates or the inventory tools. Just send them to podcast@ebay.com. call them in at 888-723-4630.
Since I'm going to be trying this tomorrow, I might be sending in a question.
You know, that would be really funny if it's so Brian sends in a question. Well, this looks familiar.
Maybe I'll have to just give you my user ID and not my...
Figure it out, Brian.
I know you will.
If you want to be our guinea pig, go for it. And we'll include it in the next episode.
For any of our listeners out there, if you haven't used listening templates, be a guinea pig like me this weekend and write us in and tell us what you think about us or give us an idea or ask a question.
And that includes comments like, I tried this and it's not going to work for me.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then tell us why. Because there are all kinds of types of sellers on our platform, and not every tool is appropriate or applicable to a given business.
Right. Like I said about the inventory tool, that's definitely not for many sellers.
Not for me.
Yeah, not for me either. It wouldn't work. But if you fit that profile with the restockable SKUs, it could really cut down on the time you spend managing your inventory. That's important.
Great. Well, I hope our listeners liked this info. I did.
I'm glad you did.
You got questions?
We got answers. And our first two questions are on the same topic. So two birds with one stone. First one is from eBay seller Russ. And why don't you read it?
Hello, Griff, Brian, and Rebecca. I've been a seller buyer on eBay since 2000. Seller ID Russ and Roll. I still remember the days of Griff on eBay Radio, eBay Magazine, as well as the anxiety-riddled balancing act of 20 watched items limit.
Ooh, he's an old timer.
Boy. I remember when we rolled out that feature so people didn't have to bookmark items anymore.
Oh, dear.
After a lengthy sabbatical, I've been diving back into the madness. My question is regarding eBay payments. While this may sound dated, I remember back when PayPal would not only allow your payment to stay in your PayPal account, but it also gained interest via PayPal's money market. Another perk was being able to pay bills via PayPal as well. Are there any future plans to be able to keep our sales funds kept in a payments account rather than sending the payments through to the seller? My reason for asking is because I would let my funds basically sit in order to cover my monthly eBay invoice. Afterwards, I would then cash out my balance once the bills were paid. Thank you in advance. Great job by all. And I'm not trying for brownie points for a mug, but it would be a nice addition to my eBay memorabilia. I think we can increase his memorabilia collection by one.
Yeah, believe me, we're happy to get rid of these mugs. We're flogging them left and right. So Russ, one is on the way. And Brian, there was a similar question that came in. I'll read this one. And this is from eBay seller Ethan, who wrote to podcast@ebay.com and says, good morning. My question is, I'm an avid seller, but also a shopper on eBay. Is there a way that I can make purchases on eBay by using my pending payouts rather than using a debit or credit card? On the other side of things, is it possible to charge eBay seller fees, for example, insertion and final value fees, along with the cost of shipping labels, to a credit card instead of pending payouts? Thanks for all the help. Respectfully, Ethan. I think we need to address that one thing that Ethan asked for, which is it possible to charge eBay seller fees like insertion and final value fees along with the cost of shipping labels to a credit card instead of pending payouts? And the answer is actually no, because we net those fees out of your proceeds before we put them into the payout flow. Right. So your insertion and final value fees are already paid. They're automatically paid. And the cost of shipping labels is currently set so that you can fund it out of pending payments, or you can fund it out of PayPal. And if you fund it out of PayPal from that end, you can choose a credit or debit card to use for funding for those payments.
However you want to fund your PayPal. Yeah.
So we get that out of the way. But let's talk about the meat of those two questions, which is the idea of keeping the funds in your eBay payment account so you can use them as you see fit.
I believe the payments team is considering options like those requested by Ethan and Russ. But as of now, there are no plans to allow sellers to keep their selling funds in their eBay payments account indefinitely.
It's hard making the comparison between PayPal and eBay payments because eBay payments is just a payment processor. PayPal was actually built as an account process where the money goes in, it sits in your account, and then it can go out. So it was a lot easier for them to provide services in the beginning, like paying your bills or using those funds as a balance that you can use anywhere in the world. Right. PayPal was not built for eBay. PayPal was built for PayPal. They were always intended as a separate payment processor, but engineering-wise, two different products.
Yeah. Different. I have to say, both Russ and Ethan, as someone who also buys and sells, like I just sold an old broken up iPhone for $75, and there was $68 that comes back to me for me, I buy a lot on eBay. I probably buy more than I sell on eBay. Having that $68 just in an account would be great. And I think that's what Russ and Ethan are getting at. And so it's not something we haven't heard and just don't have an answer.
Yeah, we don't have an answer yet. There's always the possibility of additional features for payments in the future. We just don't know. And you'll have to stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned.
But keep in mind, whenever you're making those comparisons, that PayPal and eBay payments are very, very different products. Our next question was called into our voice line at 888-723-4630. Let's listen.
Hi, Griffin Crew. It's Mike from Minneapolis, store name Rock Accessories. I was listening to the program about vacation settings and shutting down the stores temporarily. And I thought you maybe missed an opportunity to discuss something you guys implemented a few years ago that a lot of people might not know about, that you can allow account access for people to do varying degrees of work in your store. For instance, just fill orders or just do listings. And that hasn't been discussed for a while, and maybe that would be a thing you could cover again and might give people confidence in finding somebody to manage their stores if they wanted to take an extended leave. And one more thing is that I detected a little condescension from the co-host about Griff using paper in conjunction with his online work. I got to defend Griff on that one. I might have two screens open in Google Docs and everything else, but I got a three-ring notebook full of questions, checklists, and tasks and things like that. That really is a good way for me to operate, and apparently Griff as well. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a whole chain of office stores that are dedicated to selling these supplies. So I don't think it's just me and Griff that still use paper, even though we're working online.
Unfortunately, the call got cut off, but Mike from Minneapolis, thank you very much for that vote of confidence.
I think I was the condescending person.
Which is hard to believe, Brian.
Mike did raise a good point.
Yes.
It wasn't really about paper or electronics or whatever. It's almost, I think ultimately his point was, do what's best for you to make things work for your business. And I wholeheartedly agree with Mike on that point.
And we can take that ethos back to the first part of his question, which is we did miss out on an opportunity when we were talking to those two sellers who were looking for a way for an extended vacation. And both of them seemed to immediately sort of discount or reject the idea of having someone run their business. And we missed an opportunity there to talk about a feature on eBay, which Mike from Minneapolis reminds us, multi-user account access, otherwise known by its acronym,
MUA.
It's a very cool feature. If you're a seller and you need to assign, say, your shipments while you're away and you're leery about providing full access to your eBay account, this can be the tool for you. You can provide limited access to your workers or temporary hires through this eBay multi-user access account feature.
And with multi-user account access, you can delegate aspects of managing your eBay account to your employees. It's a great way to delegate your workload. For example, you can assign specific tasks to an employee, such as creating your eBay listings or printing labels.
And you don't have to give out your password. They'll have their own password and user ID, and they'll not be able to see other aspects of your account. So they won't be able to go to Seller Hub and read through all your stuff. It's just limited to the number of things that you allow that person to do, the account access you give them. With MUA, for example, you can grant access to your account to other eBay users by just sending them an invite from the account's permission page in My eBay. You'll need to be opted into Seller Hub, and I think 99.9% of our sellers are at this point. So that once invited, the other users can manage aspects of your account.
And if the person you wish to grant access to doesn't have an eBay account, they'll need to create an account first.
Yeah, that's important. Does anyone not have an eBay account these days?
Maybe really? A few people.
Well, I find that hard to believe. And with MUA, you can choose to grant any of the following selling permissions. Create and edit drafts, publish and revise listings, view orders, download an order report, add shipping tracking, print shipping labels, that's the one that's really important, research products using Terapeak, and on the customer management end, you can designate permission for them to be able to manage refunds, requests, and to resolve disputes.
And it's super valuable tools, especially for those of our sellers who have an employee or have somebody, or maybe they've got a part-time worker who comes in and then, hey, I want to go take a week's vacation. You don't have to shut down your entire business.
And for the sellers that asked, I'm going away to hike the Appalachian Trail and I need 5 months. Well, I know that if I was out hiking the Appalachian Trail, which I won't, but if I was, it'd be nice knowing there's sales taking place.
Yes.
And somebody who I trust, but who doesn't have full access to my eBay account, is coming in once a week and making sure that items are being shipped out, because I changed my handling time to a week. So you only have to hire them to come in once a week. It's, you know, and it's an expense. You can always expense it at the end of the year, but it gives me peace of mind knowing my business on eBay is not stopped.
So thanks, Mike, for that suggestion and keeping me in line.
Anyway, what's our next question, Brian?
So our next question, or rather questions, were sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Ethan, who writes, "Good morning. I would first like to thank you for all the information. My question is, I have a basic store, so I have a discount off of shipping rates. For example, a small flat rate box is $8.01. What I am wondering is that with a higher store, do I get a greater discount percentage off? In addition, are there any other ways to maybe increase this discount? Thanks. Second question is about visibility of listings with markdowns. Would a listing that is $10 get the same or less visibility than a listing that is $11.12 and 10% off, $10 after discount? Both listings are the same price for the same exact listing. This would be a good metric to know so someone can just increase price and create a markdown to generate more visibility. Thanks. Side note, will there be an in-person eBay open this year or any other in-person larger scale events? Thanks. Thanks for all your help. Respectfully, Ethan. eBay username, EH_sales_1. Well, Ethan, thanks for those questions.
First one threw me, but go ahead.
The first one, eBay discounted rates for all carriers and all classes of services are provided to all eBay sellers. They are not tied to store subscriptions or store subscription levels.
Yeah, there's no discount for shipping labels based on your store tiers. The discount you're getting is provided to all eBay sellers as part of our negotiated rates with the carriers.
As long as you're using label printing.
Yeah, as long as you're using, you're printing the labels through eBay. And to the extent that price is a factor, Ethan, in Best Match, the price of an item is determined by the price, whether it's marked down or not. So if two items are $10 and one is marked down to $8, that's going to be considered an advantageous price. It's not that it's the markdown, it's the price. And that is going to be a factor in Best Match. It's not the only criteria considered. So we have to say, a markdown listing, all other things being equal, at least visually, in Best Match rank, the slightly higher priced item is probably going to rank a little lower. Not always, because again, I can't stress this enough. Best Match is not based on just price. It's an important part of it. There are other factors to consider. And we'll put a link in the transcript that takes you to the help page that explains how Best Match works.
That's a good idea, because there are a lot of factors that go into that Best Match algorithm, and price is just one.
Just one of them, exactly. So there's no advantage in markdown unless it results in a lower price overall, because that's all that matters. Focus on the price, not on the tool that got you there, because you could do it manually.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in regarding your third question, Ethan, there will be an eBay event this year in line with what we had last year, which was primarily an online type of event. The event team is considering several additional options to an online event for 2022, but that's all in the information we have at this point. The team will announce more details once plans are finalized.
Exactly. Brian, our final question this week came through a very unusual channel. I've never taken a question through this channel before. This was a question that was left in our, you know, our survey?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody actually asked this question in the survey, and I thought, I don't know the answer to this. I wouldn't know how to respond directly to the person who posted, because we don't have that information. There's like no user ID. But it was such a great question. It got me thinking, because I've never had this question before. Let me just give you the question and you'll understand what I'm talking about. The person who asked the question wrote in the survey, "Can you list individual pieces of dinnerware or china as a variation in a multi-variation listing? If it's the same pattern or just different pieces, is this something I can do? Is it worth it?" I thought, no idea. And then, of course, who came to mind? The queen of auctions.
Of course.
And she's joining us now to help us answer that question. Welcome, please, Lynn. Hi, Lynn Drolley.
Hi, guys. It's so great to be here.
So I think you heard the question.
Yes, I did. And I have to say, from 22 years selling dinnerware in China on eBay, absolutely not. That multivariation just does not work. And let me tell you why I know this. When I sell something, you know, you guys, I have 17,000 things listed. Can you believe that?
Oh, I can't believe it. No, I can't. But go. We are not worthy. We are not worthy.
I love it. So anyway, I have 17,000 things listed. And sometimes, like, I sold a cup and saucer last week, and all we could find was the saucer. And I know this happens to all sellers. So what I will do is I will hop back on eBay, and I will search for the cup to go with the saucer, and I will buy it from another seller. And I usually can make money, you guys, doing this. And I don't let my customer down because they still get the item. I buy it from someone else who's not as smart as me and priced it cheaper. But where I'm going with this is when I do search for things and it comes up in that multi-variation listing, it's impossible to find that cup because it'll come up and it'll show you all these different things. And instead of just being able to see what you're looking for, you have to open every single listing and see if they do have that teacup for sale. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yep. It's much better to picture every single different piece. And what we do too is, like, if I have 10 dinner plates, I'll make a listing for 1, 2, 3, and 4. That way people know exactly what the shipping is. If they're looking for 2 plates, it's really easy for them. So we've learned a lot about selling dinnerware over the years, and that's what really works well for us.
Well, wait a minute. When you say you give the option of different amounts, 2, 3, 4, or whatever, are those separate listings, or is that a multivariation?
No, those are separate listings. And I started doing that about, I don't know, 18 years ago. But we really found that it's very visual. So if somebody is shopping and instead of, like, having the one plate come up, and eBay hasn't done this yet where it'll say, like, multiples available, you know, on that first page. So people don't know that maybe when they go into the listing, there's 10 plates available. So instead of just showing one plate and saying 10 available, I'll do a listing for a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 4. Because I find buyers are very visual. They want to see. And if that's what they're looking for, they're going to buy it from me.
They'll see in the picture and in the title, there's 2 here.
Yes.
And they can tell clearly from the photo there's 2 items.
Exactly. Because a lot of times people get really confused. I get questions all the time. They're like, well, I'm making an offer on this and you have 3 available. Is that offer for all 3? Is it for 1? So our customers, we really need to make it simple for them.
Yeah. I don't think it's making it simple because they're simple. I think it can get really confusing.
Right. It gives them choice too.
It is really confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens if you want to promote all of your listings for those different dinner plates for somebody who may be looking for more than 4?
So then what I will usually tell them, Griff, is make me an offer of a penny less on all the 4 listings. I'll accept them and I'll send you a combined invoice.
Ah, of course. Do they have to put them in their they have to put them in the cart first, the shopping cart, so they can do that, right?
Usually they'll, you know, message me or ask me a question and say, you know, I want all 10 of them.
Yeah.
Can you make me a deal? And instead of, like, doing a whole listing for them, I'll just say, make an offer of a penny less. And then once they make the offer, because if they put them in the shopping cart, it's going to charge them all my different shipping. Because I've never set up the discounted. It's too hard with so many variations that I carry. I mean, I carry stuff that weighs an ounce up to like 100 pounds.
Yeah,
I've never been able to use those shipping things.
Yeah, we kind of covered those last episode, and they can be confusing and hard to use for all items. They're not really very cookie cutter yet. They can be difficult.
No.
Yes.
No. I mean, if all you sell is, like, baseball cards, absolutely. But, you know, I'm selling, I sold twin beds last week and I delivered them on my way to Palm Desert.
Twin beds.
It was really.
Not even pick up. You delivered.
Well, it was Palm Desert.
I delivered. Yeah. Well, yeah. I know, I go there once a month. But, you know, they were twin beds I carried around with me for the last 25 years and didn't need them anymore. And I got an offer of $300 and he didn't know that they were in Ventura. He thought they were still in Palm Desert. And I said, you know what? I'll deliver them. I want the $300. And he was thrilled with them. So that was pretty fun.
That's great.
Yeah. And what did you do in that situation? Did you have local pickup on them?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yep.
And did you use the QR code feature that's now available for local pickup?
No. And you know what, Griff? That would have been so smart because, you know, you deliver them. And then how do you know that they're going to say they got them?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it worked out. But that would have been a cool thing to use.
Well,
very high tech.
People are basically, I know, here we are, QR codes, you know, 10 years ago, and they're high tech for eBay. So I didn't ask you when we started out, how's business there down in the consignment shop in Ventura?
You know, it's pretty good, Griff. We're cooking along, and I'm getting ready to open a clothing consignment store on March 1st, which is also the 4-year anniversary of my store, if you can believe it.
Wow.
So that's super exciting. We're taking in tons of great clothes. And it's actually in the space behind my store that we were using to store and put together furniture. It's about 500 square feet. We put in hardwood floors. We painted it all white. I'm hanging chandeliers back there. And it is just darling. And people are so excited for this new store.
That's great to hear. Expanding. We've heard a lot about people having some struggles during COVID time and stuff. That's great news.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think of Lynn Drawley, Queen of Auctions, selling clothing on eBay. Do you?
Yeah.
I do. I will sell anything that makes money. Anything.
You might have to change the name of your store, though. You know, Queen of Auctions and clothing.
Apparel.
Oh, yeah.
Fashion.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Queen of Fashion.
Yeah. So now I have the Queen of Auctions. I've got Lynn's Consignments, Fun Home Furnishings. And now I have Lynn's Fun Fashions.
She's a marketer. I'm not.
That's why you work for eBay and she works for herself, Brian.
Exactly.
The best part of everything is my tagline. It's everyone wins when they shop at Lynn.
Oh my goodness. That's so clever. That's great.
Oh, my 9-year-old nephew came up with that.
Did you give him, a reward of some sort?
Yeah, I took
credit.
Him to Disneyland this year for Christmas.
Oh, good for you. Yeah.
For a 9-year-old, that's a super reward.
Isn't it? Yeah, it was really fun.
Well, Lynn, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I'm glad to hear that your business is expanding, and business is good on eBay.
You know what? This has been the best February I've had in probably the last 8 years. I'm sitting at about 10 grand, which is not typical for a February, so it's really exciting. I mean, stuff is just flying out. I haven't been listing, you know how I normally list 100 things every week at auction?
Mm-hmm.
With this new store, I haven't been able to. My assistant, Mo, has been listing about 40 things a week for me. But our business is still so fantastic. It's really great.
Good for you. I'm glad that's working out for you. I can't wait to see you sometime. I hope we'll see you soon, maybe this year.
Yes. I hope. Are we doing an event this year? Anything live coming up?
Well, we can't really say, but it'll probably look more like last year, as we just answered a question from another seller about that. Lynn, thanks again for answering that question for us.
Thanks for having me.
Boy, Brian, talking with Lynn is always such fun.
And if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
We love it when you call that number. It makes our week. 888-723-4630. You can call that number. You can leave a question. You can kvetch. You can comment about an episode. And the best part of this is, because it's a hotline, you can do it any day of the week, any time of day. Just leave a question or comment, and if it doesn't contain too many profanities that are uneditable, we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
I'm thinking of rebranding this ending feature because we've been calling it the Daily Podcast To-Do List. I want to ask our sellers, if you have a better brand name, send it to us. We'll use it and we'll give you credit. But for now, it's going to stay your Daily Podcast To-Do List. It just sounds so boring now to me.
It does kind of sound boring.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I came up. So what's the first?
Well, I read it every other week and haven't made any suggestions to improve it. So.
you love routine, don't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, change is good. Change keeps us fresh.
Change is good. First, check the announcement board for the latest up-to-date seller news. And I will add, if you haven't subscribed to the announcement board, just subscribe, because then we'll just send you an email if we add anything to it.
Yeah, and we don't add that much to it. It's not like you're getting an email every day, but it's one less thing on your task list, like listing templates. They make your life more efficient. And our second item on the to-do list is, want to save time when listing? Guess what? Listing templates might be the answer for you. So check them out. Follow the links in the transcript.
Is that directed at me? I'll let you know Monday.
Yeah, well, we'll hear about it.
And speaking of checking out, always check out the transcript for this and all episodes to follow up on what you've heard and to see the links we reference during the episode. And don't forget our Discuss the Podcast blog on Community, where Griff has started posting screenshots of some of the features and tips we mention in each episode.
When they're appropriate, of course. But on the Discuss the Podcast page, you can post questions or comments during the week, and I'll stop in to read and respond to those as I can every couple hours or so.
And maybe even if someone has feedback on an episode, you don't necessarily have to have a question. You could provide just feedback.
Yeah, that lets us know that we're here, and we love knowing that we're here, that you're there and we're here.
Well, we know that they're there because we can see how downloads go.
I'm the kind of person that likes to be in front of an audience so I can read their faces and know, is this working or not? And with a podcast, that's not possible.
It is more challenging.
It is.
We'd like to again thank our special guest this week, Lynn Drawley of the Queen of Auctions.
We'll put a link to her eBay store in the
description. You win with Lynn.
You always win with Lynn. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by two old men sitting, by Libsyn and Podcast 411.